Turn to Proverbs 5 and verse 22. We are down to the second to the last verse of Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs 5:22 says, "His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." So let's look at that first part. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself. So the wicked, we are told here, will be taken by his own iniquities. It's interesting. It doesn't say that God shall take the wicked or something, which he does, but it says his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. And we've been through Proverbs chapter 1 where you remember how God uses a man's own iniquities as his own judgment. We'll get to that here in a little bit. But God will return the wickedness upon a man's own head. Look at 1 Kings 2 and verse 44. This was spoken of a man named Shimei, if I remember right. 1 Kings 2 and verse 44. "The king said, moreover, to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David, my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself." You dig a pit, you fall therein. Right? I'll get to that. I guess that verse is coming up here very soon. God will use a man's own wickedness to correct him. Jeremiah 2 and verse 19. And boy, is this ever true of the guy that goes into the strange woman. There's all kinds of natural consequences that the Lord uses to take the wicked himself in his own iniquity. Jeremiah 2 and verse 19 says, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." So backsliding Christians, whenever they fall away from the faith and they go into heresy and they forsake the Lord, their own wickedness will correct them. God will judge them with their own decisions. The pit that he dug will be used as his dungeon. Look at Proverbs 26 and verse 27. This many times can be referring figuratively, you dig a pit, you fall therein. But you know, there was the story of Haman, which I like to bring up, whenever he made the gallows to hang Mordecai on, and he literally was hung or hanged on his own gallows that he made for another man. It wasn't exactly a pit, but, you know, close enough. So sometimes the Lord, I think maybe the Lord gets just a little extra pleasure in punishing somebody like that. Proverbs 26 and verse 27. It says, "Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him." It's kind of like some of these things, you've probably seen these videos. I don't know if it's the Darwin Awards. I think that's when somebody dies doing something stupid. But there's other ones where criminals are doing something and then something that gets turned around and, you know, they're trying to steal a car and they get run over by it or something like that. You've probably seen things instant like that. Karma. Instant karma, right. Yeah, that's right. And in the case of the man that goes into the strange woman, his adultery will be his own destruction. Proverbs 6 and verse 32. Proverbs 6:32 says, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself." His own adultery destroys his soul. God wouldn't even necessarily need to judge him because he has judged him. He's brought judgment upon himself. And then it says, "And he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." And what does that mean? I find it interesting. I noticed this, I don't know when, a while back, years ago, I suppose, when I was reading through Psalm chapter 2, that when sinners try to break God's bands and cast away his cords, they end up being kept in bondage by their own cords of their sins. In Psalm chapter 2 and verse 3, Psalm 2 and verse 3, this is that prophecy of the men who, the conspiracy of the men to crucify Jesus Christ. And here's what they said: "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." You see, men want to get rid of God's rules and God's restrictions. These are like cords or ropes tying us, binding us down. Break those bands asunder, cast those cords from us. We don't want any God telling us anything. Jesus Christ came to them and preached righteousness to them, which was something that would bind their sins. And they didn't want to hear that. Let's break them asunder and crucify the Lord of glory. But they cast away the cords only to be kept and to be taken by the cords of their own sins. Remember the verse we're looking at here. "And he shall be holden with the cords of his sins," Proverbs 5:22. So choose your cords, I guess. Right? You're either going to have God's cords restraining you, or you are going to be restrained by your own cords. The own cords of your sins are going to be to cause your own captivity. A cord is a string composed of several strands twisted or woven together. In ordinary popular use, now restricted to small ropes and thick or stout strings, but formerly applied more widely. An example is to the ropes of a ship or the string of a bow, etc. So a cord is like a small rope or a string woven together. Now we're told in Job 36 in verses 8 through 9 that men are bound in fetters and holden in cords because of their affliction, or they're in cords of affliction because of their sin. Job 36, 8 through 9. Job 36, 8 through 9. If you do something foolish or sinful and you end up in prison, well, you're being holden with the cords of your sins. Your sins got you into that bondage. They're holding you down. Job 36, 8 through 9 says, "And if they be bound in fetters and be holden in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work and their transgressions that they have exceeded." That's why they're bound in fetters of affliction and cords of affliction, because of their transgression. God uses the very cords that sinners use to sin to bind them with. Isaiah 5 and verse 18. See, sinners, sinners use cords figuratively to sin, and it's interesting that this verse in Proverbs tells us that they're holding with the cords of their sins. So I put these two things together and say they use their cords to sin, and then God takes them and binds them with those own cords. He binds them with their own sin. Isaiah 5 and verse 18, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope." Draw iniquity with cords of vanity. I guess whenever you live in vanity with worthless and vain pursuits, it's just as if you're taking that and just drawing in iniquity by living a vain life. And when you do that, you just draw it right in, and guess what? It just wraps right around you, and you're bound with the cords of your own sins. So the adulterous relationship with the whore will be the means that God uses to punish the whoremonger through dishonor, remember Proverbs 5:9, through poverty, Proverbs 5:10, through disease, Proverbs 5:11, and through death, Proverbs 5:23. Let's just get 23. We've already read 9, 10, and 11 here just a minute ago. But Proverbs 5 and verse 23, not only do you get dishonor, poverty, and disease, but then it ultimately ends in death. If not death in this life, then for the reprobate, he'll get death in the lake of fire for his sins. "He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." That's going to be the end. We'll talk about that next Sunday, next Wednesday, when we get to verse 23. The adulterer will be made to eat of the fruit of his own way and be filled with his own devices. He'll be bound with the cords of his sins, in other words. Proverbs 1 and verse 31. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And think about this. Just as Jesus made a scourge of small cords to punish the wicked in John 2:15, so God uses the cords of our sins to punish us. Jesus used cords to punish people, and God uses cords to punish people. In this case, Jesus made the cords himself. In our case, we make the cords. And then God just uses our own devices to judge us. John 2 and verse 15. I always love this passage. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep, and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. Judging men with cords. Jesus did it. God does it as well. Judges us with our own devices and thoughts and actions. So that takes care of Proverbs 5:22. Next time we'll finish up Proverbs chapter 5. And then we'll get into chapter 6, and there's going to be some interesting things there. I've been working on that one so far and finding a lot of interesting things. I think you'll like it. Thanks for your attention tonight.